It's Monday. We're here for the Offbeat Tracks thing. How you doing, Danielle?
I'm doing well at this Offbeat Tracks thing.
Yeah. We were just having an interesting off-mic discussion about how pop... Really, it was about the pop music of 1999. And I said that that was kind of like the beginning of the end for me when I really started tuning pop music out for about, I'd say 8 years. Something like that.
I didn't tune it out. I don't know. I thought that some of it was good in the early 90s. Or in the early 90s, early 2000s.
I was like, what are you talking about?
I'm not drinking my signature energy drink.
Oh, yeah, you're
because
not.
Because I didn't have enough energy.
That's water. Good for you. Look at you hydrating. Danielle's old screen name used to be Mandate to Hydrate.
I do have one. I used to carry around a big old Nalgene water bottle. What I'm still doing 15 years later.
It's like the only screen name I've known her to have that was not Falco related or the D Chili thing.
Yeah, or Paris Hilton I had for a minute.
Oh, yeah.
I remember that.
Oh, yeah, when you went through your weird Paris Hilton phase. Yes,
yeah,
I remember
I was
that.
Like, and I was studying abroad in Paris.
In Paris.
And my last name
so
is
it made
Chilton,
it
Paris
made sense.
Chilton. I think I only signed on to it like twice because Mandate to Hydrate was truly what to do. And guess what? I'm hydrated, but I'm also like, I should have just gotten my energy drink that should sponsor us already. But I did not have enough energy to go to the store and buy one, which is the real catch-22 of the whole thing.
Indeed.
We
were talking about Limp Bizkit and how they might be the polar opposite of what we're talking about today. Not sure.
Yeah.
Danielle's rant was mostly about how she bought Limp Bizkit's album and is angry that no one else will admit that they did.
Everyone, whenever it comes on now, I'm just going to say
except,
it
like,
for everyone.
You believe me if I tell you that I did not buy that album, right?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Okay,
but
cool.
A lot of people did. Now they're like, oh, Limp Bizkit, oh, Nookie, what a terrible song. Nobody liked it. I'm like, it was number one for a damn reason. Like, I wasn't the only one who liked it. But I'm somehow the only person who's willing to admit that I liked it. And that makes me mad.
Well, you know, although I don't like Limp Bizkit, I respect that because that is what we do here.
I had a couple of bangers. Okay.
We engode on this show. If there's one verb for what we do here, we engode pop music that probably doesn't deserve it. But here we are doing just that. And what a perfect setup for today's episode. I didn't even see what I did there. We are talking about a 1985 soundtrack, specifically that of the movie Perfect.
Yes.
We got to touch on the movie first. This movie came out on June. I can't, is that a U or an A in my writing?
Jane?
I really got to learn to write better.
Jane 1985, is
yes.
That when it came out?
No, it came out June of 1985, June 7th, 1985. Mm-hmm. This stars Jamie Lee Curtis and John Travolta.
Yes.
She is an aerobics instructor.
Of course.
And John Travolta is an enterprising young Rolling Stone reporter who is sent out on assignment to investigate this new craze of aerobics and how it's relating to the music that the young people are listening to these days.
The youths.
Which is hilarious because they're both like, 23 in this movie? 23, 20? I mean, they're kids. Anyway, this movie is bad.
Uh-huh.
It has a 19% on Rotten Tomatoes, which is generous.
If you would have asked me to guess it, I would have been like six.
It got nominated for 3 Razzies. Worst actor for Travolta. Worst supporting actress for Mary Lou Henner. Is there any single person more 80s than Mary Lou Henner? I vote no.
I love her, by the way. I think she's a national treasure. No one talks about it enough. I love Mary Lou Henner.
Yeah, love Mary Lou Henner. Gonna take this second also to plug a movie that she was in that is more 80s than this one. It's a made-for-TV movie that I had to specially order off some dude who had a rip of it, and he DVD'd it for me. This was years ago. It wasn't even an eBay thing. It was like some website, whatever. I was like, this dude's gonna rip me off, but I have my DVD of this movie. It's called Lady Killers, and what it is, it was this TV movie where there was like a role reversal where male strippers at a dance club were getting murdered on stage by someone, and Mary Lou Henner is the cop that is set out to investigate and figure out who is murdering these stripper dudes. And there's just like a lot of like hot shirtless dudes and a lot of Mary Lou Henner and a lot of 80s music. And it's really kind of hard not to love it.
It's like the gayest thing I've ever heard.
Everything that's going on.
A lot of Mary Lou Henner, a lot of shirtless stripper dudes.
Oh gosh, I cannot, I'm going to kick myself. I can't remember her name. She's a British actress. She plays the owner of the club who is this like, you know, oh, hello, darling. You know, oh gosh. What? Hold on. I'm going to have to look her name up. The lead dancer dude was somebody named Thomas something who was like no one I've ever heard of.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on,
Maggie Smith.
I'm gonna look her up. We're gonna take a short pause. Okay, found her. Leslie Ann Down.
Who is she?
Oh, you know, oh, I went through all that and you don't know who she is.
Well, I might know who she is. I just don't know that name.
She's just this British actress, very dramatic, that was a thing in the 70s and the 80s. I have no idea what this lady's up to now, but she was like perfect to play this weird, creepy owner of a male strip club in a 1988 made-for-TV movie that stars Mary Lou Henner. Like, basically, Leslie Ann Down was the only person that could have done this.
Oh,
and
okay.
She does it very well. So yeah. Anyway, that's my little plug
for typecast
for another Mary Lou Henner for another Mary Lou Henner joint that you should check out. Yeah, but she was one of three Razzie nominated people or entities for this movie. Perfect. This movie was apparently so bad. I didn't realize this. John Travolta did not make another movie for 4 years after this one.
I didn't realize this until I was an adult, because I used to hear it on like shows about John Travolta and stuff when I was a kid. And to me, John Travolta was a huge star when I was a kid. And like even the old stuff, like The Grease, and you know, he'd just come out with like Pulp Fiction and all that stuff. And they would be like, yeah, his comeback. And I was like, what comeback? He's been like a huge star for decades. You kind of forget that all he made in the 80s were complete shitters. And he like... like, they really are terrible
right,
movies.
Like it's
and he was, like, kind of this guy who didn't know what to do. He was just kind of stuck in this Grease Saturday Night Fever
It's so
thing.
True. You don't ever think about that.
And then, like, you know, it was when I was
because
Staying
Alive
kid.
Did not get good reviews.
No.
And that was, what, 83?
Yeah, they were just all shitters. The one with Olivia Newton-John with, like, Two of a Kind.
Yes.
Which is awful.
Really
but
bad.
I love it. Another good soundtrack, though. He just made a bunch of bad movies and then ended up kind of like...
well, he redeemed himself literally right at the end of the decade because he made Look Who's Talking, mm-hmm. which was a big hit.
Yes.
That was right at the end of 1989.
Yep.
Because his next movie that he made was something called The Experts, which I'd never heard of, but that also was a total bomb. But somehow months, like literally months later, he got Look Who's Talking, and that was a huge hit. And that totally revived his career. So there you go.
Yeah, it just needs to be said that if you were like coming up about our age, you just kind of know John Travolta as a huge star, and he was not a huge star forever in all of that. There was a big gap of just, oh God, no.
Very true. I've never thought about that, but that's interesting. So we're here today to talk about the soundtrack to Perfect, because in contrast to how bad the movie is, the soundtrack is amazing.
How many movies do we talk about in movie soundtracks where that's the thing? Honestly, it's like this movie was a complete terrible thing and everyone says it's bad, but soundtrack ruled.
But the soundtrack ruled. And here's yet another one to add to that mm-hmm. list. So let's dive right in and talk about, I guess, what essentially functions as the theme for this movie, Jermaine Jackson's Closest Thing to Perfect. This is, I think, the only one that charted on the Hot 100 from this album. It was a number 67 hit. Woohoo, big ol' hit. So it's kind of weird to think about, like, what the Jacksons were up to, the other Jacksons besides Michael at this time.
I'm going to give you the whole rundown, because you know what I love? I love Jermaine solo stuff. I don't talk about it a lot. I love Jermaine Jackson solo stuff. I like it better than what Michael was doing around this time.
Really?
I like solo Jermaine.
Well, what was Michael doing? He was between Thriller and Bad.
Yeah, I mean, he was just kind of doing all that stuff. But I like solo Jermaine around this time more than I like Thriller. It's more fun.
Damn.
It's more fun. It's different. It's cool clubbing.
That's quite
stuff.
A claim.
He had a lot of really big hits in Europe, too, at the time. Not so much here. So he was like a really huge star coming out with some... big old stuff, and all of the songs on here are very fun from him.
Fun is a very good way to describe this. He's, you know, Jermaine was probably like, what, 30 years old at this time? Because you gotta, I always think of the Jacksons, like, the ones older than Michael as being, like, super old, but really, like, a lot of them were still quite young at this point.
He was probably early 30s, mid-30s.
Yeah,
He was one of the older ones.
I mean, he couldn't have been that much older than John Travolta and Jamie Lee Curtis, yeah. is what I'm getting at. So, cause they were probably, I said earlier, 23. I think I probably undershot that. I would say they were mid 20s. I think Jermaine Jackson is like maybe 30 at this time. And, he's in the video and they kind of, it's like they reimagine her aerobics class, but they put them in this like big aerobics videodrome and are all just doing this big sweaty dance to this song. And I'm just like, I'm so here for it.
Yeah,
I love it.
I mean, it's perfect for it. I gotta stop saying perfect. I'm gonna chuckle every time I say it. It just works, and I love it. And if you love aerobics music, first of all, every single song on here is a banger.
Oh, dude, this is a workout record minus
so,
one. But
like,
we'll get
I'm gonna
to that.
Keep saying everything is an awesome aerobics banger, and I'm just gonna say that I'm gonna keep repeating it because that is the theme, and it's so good, and it's kind of creepy with Jermaine in it. It's a little creepy of a video. He's just like kind of close to everyone, and it's like, you know, he doesn't belong there. But he's there and he's doing it and he's wearing like these white leggings and it's
yeah and his little headband and everything.
I don't know about it.
I'm just here for it. I would spend the night at this aerobics videodrome dancing.
I don't know if I would spend the night, but I would, you know, dance to a couple of songs and then leave before it gets too weird. Yeah.
And Jermaine is on another song on this record with Whitney Houston, because Jermaine and Whitney Houston were doing quite a few songs together at this point in their mm-hmm. careers.
This is very early Whitney, too.
It is very, very early Whitney. I'm not sure that her debut record was even out yet. It might have been right about to come out.
It was like 85. And Clive Davis did a lot on the soundtrack, so right. Clive Davis so is the Whitney Houston.
Totally
dude.
Makes sense. Yeah. But this song's called Shock Me, and this is from the scene that everyone knows in the movie mm-hmm. Perfect. Which is where John Travolta and Jamie Lee Curtis have slept together the night before, and she says, hey, come to my class the next day. And so she's like up there teaching the aerobics class, but is like seductively humping in John Travolta's general direction, and he's like seductively humping from the crowd of the class back up to her. Mm-hmm. And this goes on over the song Shock Me.
Yeah.
And it's just iconic. So iconic, in fact, that 20 years later, Eric Prydz took it and used it as the basis for the video for Call on Me.
Yep.
Which I did not realize until many years later when I saw this scene and I went, oh my gosh.
I didn't either. Like, it was on TV one day and I happened to just get in on that scene and then I was like, wait, what? Huh?
Yep.
I never knew
that. And
there
it was.
I never knew it. Yeah, it's a good song. And also, if you don't know it's Whitney, I don't think you can tell it's Whitney.
I agree.
I don't think it sounds like her.
It's very different musically for her too, because Whitney did like pop music and she did kind of dance pop music, but this is like high energy like club aerobics yeah. music, and Whitney really never did anything quite like that. So it's really kind of cool to hear her sing a song like this. And you know I love a good well-placed sound effect too. So I'm so here for like the occasional like zaps every time they say Shock Me.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love that.
100%.
Moving on, Miss Nona Hendrix and I Sweat, Going Through the Motions. This was a hit on the R&B chart. This started mm-hmm. Number 28 on the U.S. R&B chart. Nona Hendrix, if you don't know who she is, shame on you. She is one third of LaBelle.
She's a non-LaBelle of LaBelle.
That's right. She was with Patti LaBelle. And do you know the other woman's name from LaBelle? This is
not
great
LaBelle.
Trivia. The one who's like not famous. Sarah Dash was her name.
I would never have yeah. thought that.
So there you go. Nona Hendrix went on to a pretty lucrative solo career in the 80s mm-hmm. And does some really fun stuff that's like a hybrid of kind of like new wave and R&B and dance pop and almost kind of world music too. She put out this great album in 1987, a couple years after this, called Female Trouble, that has mm-hmm. just some killer tracks on it. Big Nona Hendrix fan. But this one, I Sweat, Going Through the Motions, again, this is like we hear her doing kind of a straightforward like a club song, a high energy like
it
aerobics
is,
club song.
It is an aerobic song about sweating.
Yes, and going through the motions.
That's pretty, it's pretty much aerobics right there. You sweat, you go through the motions.
That's right. Time is passing and I can't think. No feeling, but I'm feeling for you. I get up and dance. I wave my hands. I move my feet. I just come to me. Now I sweat. Going through the motions. I sweat. I sweat. I sweat. I sweat. Going through the motions. I sweat. Oh, I'm so excited to talk about this one. The Pointer Sisters have a song.
I'm so excited.
Ah, dang it! I didn't even notice what I did.
I'm catching every single pun.
That seriously was not intentional. That was my brain writing a good joke for me subconsciously.
I'm jumping for your puns.
I'm not
jumping
credit
for your puns.
Love it. if you would dare me to find a better Pointer Sisters song than this one, I would probably say Jump for My Love. But this one might be a close second or third. This song rules. It's called All Systems Go. Mm-hmm. And this is the only place this song appears. It was not on a Pointer Sisters album, as far as I know. It is a fantastic, fantastic song. This is the Pointer Sisters at the peak of their awesome sound.
Yes.
When they got into that 80s sound and they just really embraced the 80s and were so cool there for a few years. And this is like right in the heat of that. And just love it.
Yeah, I mean, this is a really good song. Obviously, total banger. But also what I think is very funny about this one is when you think of like 80s songs of the Pointer Sisters, I can think of way better aerobics songs. Like, I mean, this is good and fine. I will aerobicize, but it's like, I don't know. I just think of,
I agree. This would be for like the cool down of the workout.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. Like of all, like you could think, oh, Pointer Sisters on an aerobics movie album, you know, it's gotta be like the peak of the aerobics on it. And I'm like, this is kind of like a little dip in it.
It is.
It's weird. Like I just think of all songs, but 100%. Thumbs up.
This is like, to me, if somebody for whatever reason ever asked me what's one Pointer Sister song that no one knows that everyone should know, I would absolutely answer this one. Oh, Miss Jermaine Stewart. Miss Jermaine Stewart. Known mostly, of course, for We Don't Have to Take Our Clothes Off and Dance Floor and Jody and a couple of other singles in the later 80s. Mostly, though, We Don't Have to Take Our Clothes Off. Here's a kind of a pre-fame Jermaine. He had one album out at this point called The Word Is Out, and he had like a minor hit with the title track from that. But this song's called Wear Out the Grooves. Which I love, I'm living for like all these dance metaphors and aerobics metaphors. I'm just so here for it, dude. I love this album.
It's so good. Like, I can't even like, I don't know. I can't come up with anything better to say about it than it's just so perfect. Huh?
It is.
God. I'm using a different adjective. What's a synonym for perfect?
Flawless.
Immaculate.
Yes.
It's immaculate.
Both acceptable.
Stupid. But it's.
But this is Miss Jermaine Stewart just queening the hell out on this album, as he should, and
perfect. Oh.
Yes, he's
great fit.
He was the best. So now we get into kind of this interesting collective of people who were sort of famous in their own right already, but for some reason still appear on the soundtrack.
Why the hell not?
The first of which is Dan Hartman. And at least Dan has a different song. They didn't just slap a Dan Hartman hit on this, because Dan already had big hits with I Can Dream About You and, what was the other one? I should have written this down.
He has a lot of old disco ones.
No, We Are the Young.
No.
He had two pretty big hits with those already, like in the last year or two before this movie came out. So they gave him this song, Talking to the Wall, which is like this super upbeat, high energy song, but it works for him.
Like most Dan Hartman songs, I know Dan Hartman mostly from disco Dan Hartman, which
right.
is great. And he's got great pure dance songs that are so much different than like I Can Dream About You. Like it's very different. And he's very good at having a really long career of just making what is cool in the club. That is one thing that is very underrated about Dan Hartman. He knows what's in the club. So now he gets this song, which is kind of like that too, and it's awesome. This is really, to me, the true Dan Hartman, and that's what he's known for the most. But also the thing I love about Dan Hartman is that I love every song I ever hear from him, but they're all kind of a little bit forgettable. Like, I can never...
Except for I Can Dream About You. Like, everyone knows that song.
Like, all the dance songs that I love, they fit at a club. You're going to dance to them. They sound good. But it's like, they never quite stick because they're just kind of like that generic kind of dance song thing.
Right.
Even though they're all good. That's kind of what this song is to me, even though it's perfect. And he's got one of those careers that just moves with the club
and
thing.
He was a singer-songwriter, too. That's worth noting. He wrote all of his hits, I believe. Mm-hmm. This is also the second time we've brought him up. We'd like to point that out. Because he was on the Breakin' soundtrack also with, because he was 3V's Heart of the Beat. That's really him. Mm-hmm. But yeah, kind of a sad story. If you don't know Dan Hartman, he was kind of a closeted gay man, and he died of AIDS in the early 1990s and never like came out about it or disclosed this. So no one knew until after he died. But he did. He had this string of like really solid like 12-inch dance singles in the 1980s that really worked well with the time. And this is one of them. I don't think this ever was released to a single, but definitely works perfectly on this album. And yeah, a couple more here that this is kind of odd inclusions on this soundtrack, because not only do they not really fit in the movie, but they were like already hits. Some of them have been out for a couple of years.
Yeah.
So not really sure what's going on here. By the way, there is a Lou Reed song on here. We're not going to talk about it because it sucks. And if they would have just taken that off of it.
I knew that's what you were doing. I was like, I don't want to talk about it either. It does suck. But I know that's why Mac left that one off.
Yep. We're not talking about this song because it doesn't belong on this album of otherwise perfect dance music. So Thompson Twins, Lay Your Hands on Me. This was a single from the album Here's to Future Days, which came out the same year, I believe. Not really sure. I mean, that single got released twice. And if you look in their discography, it'll say that the first release, it was like just a stopgap. It'll say it wasn't off of an album. But I wonder if that first release kind of coincided with this soundtrack. Why they included it.
Yeah, I don't know. I did not Very realize odd. This was ever on the soundtrack. This is actually my favorite Thompson Twins song.
No kidding. Been.
I love it. And I don't know why. I just really love it. I love that little chorus in the background, which I usually hate in a song. I usually hate it, but I just love Lay Your Hands. I don't know. I love it. I did not know this was on the soundtrack. If you would have said what Thompson Twins song is on the perfect soundtrack, I would have been like, huh?
Yeah, what? I wouldn't have guessed this one.
Yeah.
Because it's like, it's not even upbeat.
Not really. And it just like doesn't fit. It's very like that British, like leaning sophistopop-y vocals, which doesn't fit here. I love it, but it doesn't
fit. It's a very odd inclusion.
It's just a very odd inclusion, but it is a very good song. Magic in your touch.
Speaking of songs that Danielle's going to have a lot of positive things to say about, Wham with the Wham Rap being stuck on here for some reason. Again, a song that had been out for 2 or 3 years.
God, this came out in like 81.
Yeah, it was like 81, 82. Mm-hmm. So we're in 1985. This randomly gets stuck on this soundtrack. Okay.
My first thought when you said the perfect soundtrack for this show, my first thought was, how did I not think about this as a subject before so I could do one of those things where we talk about an artist I love that isn't really offbeat. But you know, I just always want to talk about Wham, but we're never going to do a full-on Wham episode, unfortunately.
Wham makes their way into this show. We did the offbeat George Michael episode after he died, and then we got to talk about them again when Lee DeGeorge came on and did our lovely first trivia quiz in that final round.
Anyway, I do like this song, as predicted. I don't think rap ever got cooler than when George Michael starts the song with, hey, everybody, take a look at me. I've got street credibility, Did hip hop ever get cooler?
No. Fight no, you don't, George.
It. Fight me on it. Yes, he does. He has street credibility. He's totally super creddy. I don't know. I've always loved this song. It is ridiculous. Early 80s white rap where they're trying to figure it out. And it like either really works or it doesn't. Or like this song where it kind of half works, but it half doesn't. I just love it. I love that beautiful art of early 80s white people discovering hip hop and doing whatever this is with it. I love it. I think it's beautiful.
And stay tuned for more discussions on that in next week's episode, by the way.
Oh, good Lord, yeah.
Hell, ain't never gonna work. Get down in the dirt. I choose to cruise. Gonna live my life sharp as a knife. I found my groove and I just can't lose. A1 style from head to toe. A cool cat flash gonna let you know. I'm a soul boy.
And we're going to close on one that I love a lot, Berlin and Masquerade. Again, this one, I think, old. Was 4 years old at this point.
Yeah, this I actually looked because I didn't know this was on the soundtrack either. And I was like, this is way older than 85. And I looked, this album came out in 82.
Oh, well, there you go. What was it? Was a Pleasure Victim, right?
Yeah.
Or was it? Was that the first one or Love Life? I was getting confused.
First,
no, Pleasure Victim was the first. Yeah, okay.
Pleasure Victim is the magnum opus of Berlin,
right?
And
so Masquerade was on Pleasure Victim, which was 81, 82, something like that. But here it is on the Perfect soundtrack. Now there are two versions of Masquerade.
Mm-hmm.
The newer version is the better version, in my opinion. The original one is very lo-fi. It's more punk rock, quote unquote, whatever. That's the more popular one that you've probably heard. But you should look up the later re-recording of Masquerade because it's really nice. They did a louder synth line kind of instead of like the very subtle one on the original, and I think it kind of lends itself nicer to the song. So whatever that's very worth. True.
Yeah, I really like anything on Pleasure Victim. That was one of the first albums that I really got into, like the new wavy synth pop kind of thing.
Dude, Berlin rules.
I think it's perfect.
Like you can't like 80s music and not like Berlin.
Yeah, whenever Berlin is like, oh, like the one hit wonder with like a Take My Breath Away, makes me very mad. For years I didn't like that song because I was like, but it's better if you look at the other stuff.
Right.
Like that's not real Berlin.
Right, it doesn't even sound like them.
Yeah, I'm like, do Pleasure Victim, it's awesome. Anyway, I love this song. Of Berlin.
And that's the perfect soundtrack.
Except for the Lou Reed.
The end, yes. Except for the Lou Reed song.
You know what I was thinking earlier?
Which you can totally go listen to on your own if you want to.
I was thinking about this movie, and the soundtrack is like this aerobics fad, and there's all these 80s movies that like and TV shows that have like aerobics and stuff all over it.
Mm-hmm.
And I try to think of like how that would be now. Like, would that be like the equivalent of like a CrossFit movie?
Yeah.
What is CrossFit music?
Well, it's, you know, it's funny. I remember like when I discovered the crotch thrusting scene, as I call it. And I posted it on Facebook years ago. My mom, I talked to my mom on the phone later that day, and she called and she was like, you know, I saw that thing you posted and it was so funny. She's like, when I was like a young professional, she's like, I'd go on the road, you know, for my business trips or whatever. And they would play that kind of stuff on TV in the morning, like, you know, as a calisthenics, like, hey, get ready. You know, and she's like, I used to do that stuff in the hotel room. And she's like, looking back, it was just like totally just softcore porn.
It really was. You know, there were a lot of little kids watching that stuff in the morning, like just, you know, learning things
right
from that. Like, that's one of those things where you're like, what is this? This is something I need to know. And you know that
that's
they
right.
got a lot of education from it. But I just think of it now, like, what would be the equivalent of, like, an exercise fad movie? CrossFit?
Yeah, like a bunch of people on exercycles listening to Ariana Grande's Side to Side.
Like a horror movie about hot yoga where everyone just dies from heat. I don't know.
But But yeah, but like, what would an equivalent soundtrack look like? What tracks would be on it now? That's very interesting. That's an interesting.
I don't know. I was just thinking about it. I'm like, man, something about aerobics just kind of works for it.
Let's put this question out on our Facebook page and see what folks think. So, what songs would be on if the movie came out today and was modern, like not an 80s movie, but like it was a modern setting, what songs would be on the soundtrack?
Mm-hmm.
That's a good question. I like it. We'll throw that on our Facebook page. We're on Facebook at Offbeat Tracks Podcast. You can find us there. We are also online at offbeattrackscast.com.
And we're on Twitter. We have a Twitter account and everything. We bought it. I'm just kidding. It's free. It's free content. We are user at Offbeat Tracks.
Yeah. So if you want to tweet us and tell us what songs you think would be on the Modern Perfect soundtrack, you can do that too.
Do it.
And you can also listen to all of our old episodes because I'm going
to
make Danielle update the website after this, or she's not allowed back here to record another episode until that happens.
Okay.
So how's that? Sure. So if you don't hear her next week, you'll know the website's not updated.
That's just not true.
Yeah, that's not true. Wait, that's not true at all. All right, we'll see you next week.